Welcome to Me Monkey. On this episode, we talk about Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
So, Shape of Water recently won the Oscar for Best Picture. We went to see it this week.
Very behind the times.
We're sort of like a month late to this one.
We have missed the boat.
But we've enjoyed Guillermo del Toro movies in the past. Yeah. Crimson Peak, Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy. Pacific Rim, Hellboy. Like, he's directed some great pictures.
All good ones.
Yeah. And this, again, shows his real love of, like, the creature feature, the monster movie. It stars Sally Hawkins as a young, or a mute woman, sorry, who's working at a government laboratory where there's some kind of, you never really quite get where it is, but it's some kind of secret government installation.
She's the night shift cleaner.
And she's a cleaner there.
I don't even know if it's, like, a government lab or it's just a lab in general, and they've shipped in this fishman.
Something for the military.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's working there, and they basically have a new specimen, I'd say, comes into the lab, and it's a fish creature who's living in a tank, sort of aquatic, lives in the water, and he's locked inside a tank and always chained up because he's incredibly dangerous, or that's how it's explained to her. But anyway, throughout the movie, she sort of begins a relationship with the creature and feels as though she can understand it and it can understand her, and then she obviously wants to release it from where it's in captivity.
She falls in love with him.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird blend of, like, I would say early horror movies, like 40s, 50s horror movies, like the old Frankenstein films or that kind of thing, and also a lot of Beauty and the Beast, a lot of, like, love stories stuff in there as well.
I think like, going into it, right, I saw a few trailers and stuff, but I thought, oh, it's going to be more of like a sci-fi thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like kind of sci-fi creature thing. But really, it covers everything. I feel like if you don't like sci-fi, if you think, oh, weird fish man, that's not really going to do it for me.
Yeah.
There's still like a Cold War thriller thing going on with the Russians and the Americans and stuff like that. There's also like aspects of it being a musical in certain places. There's the fantasy kind of fairy tale stuff, but it is, like, at its core, it's just like a pure romantic movie.
Yeah.
It's like, so, not at all what I was really expecting. I didn't expect it to be like, oh, a bit romantic, she falls in love with a fish. It was like one of the most romantic movies I've ever seen. It had such a purity about the romance aspect of it.
That's the thing, in the beginning scene, like a really fantastic sequence where you're sort of taken through an apartment and everything's underwater and there's furniture floating, and the Sally Hawkins character is asleep on the couch, which is floating in midair. And there's a sort of narration over the top, which cues you into the fact that this is sort of a modern fairy tale. Even though it's a period piece, it's set in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, the way he's explaining it's sort of telling you about the time and place. And you kind of get that sense that it's a sort of once upon a time, there was a princess and she met this creature, and this is their story.
That's always kind of where he operates in.
Yeah, going through it, sort of blending like the fairy tale, but like you say, with the sort of Cold War espionage.
There's everything in there. There's so many genres spanned.
Because you've got the idea that this creature could be used as a weapon by the Americans or by the Russians. And you've got some great performances. Sally Hawkins is fantastic as the main character, Eliza, and obviously doing almost all of her performance with sign language.
Yeah, it is really amazing. What's really amazing is, like, you've got, like, Sally Hawkins, as you're saying, as a mute character, but you've also got Doug Jones playing the fish creature. And they can't communicate verbally, but you do get the sense that they've fallen in love and they care about each other, which is quite an achievement in a movie these days, because it's not like it's a silent movie. But you're still getting the sense of...
Well, she's so expressive with her face. But also, you do have a lot of good scenes. Even though the film's not a silent film, between those two characters, you have a few scenes which operate in that way. Like, she's giving him sort of part of her lunch, and then he's taking it. And you have scenes between them where it's unspoken, but you understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what she says later in the film, or signs later in the film, which is that they can understand each other, even though she can't speak to him.
Yeah, and like she like brings music in and they pick what record and stuff like that.
The other good character plays sort of the villain in the film is Michael Shannon.
Playing Strickland.
Yeah, and he's terrifying in the film.
He's like one of the most evil characters ever created for me.
He is, well, I mean, he's like racist, sexist, abusive, like pretty much everything that could be bad about somebody. Like, he embodies that, and kind of embodies in a way. It's sort of funny because he has like the typical all-American life, the sort of blonde wife, two kids, suburban home. Like, he sort of typifies a very sort of traditional conservative mindset.
Like, he's totally like American, like the American white male, like winning at any cost.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like to be outsmarted by all these people on the fringes of what he believes America should
be. Yeah, because as well as Eliza, you've also got her co-worker, Zelda, like a black lady who's worked with her.
Yeah, Zelda Fuller.
So it's literally like everybody hates like a black woman, a mute woman. Like, well, everybody's hates eventually like ends up one-upping him.
It's all these people that he thinks aren't good enough to be part of his world. You've got like, and it's like two cleaners that work on the night shift, played by Michael Stuhlbarg as well. Like, he sees him as being like too weak and caring about the creature, and it's like, this isn't what it's about, Doctor, or trying to or try to defeat the Russians.
He's very much a military man.
Yeah, he's like in
Strickland,
and it's and even like in the end, like, giving away spoilers because it's been out for ages.
Yeah, we can't really give spoilers.
But like in the end, he's defeated by the creature that he despises.
Yeah,
and he's like, you're not a god. God's created, and we're created in God's image.
Yeah,
I'm God's image, not you, or not the creature, not Sally Hawkins' character, not the other cleaner.
Yeah,
it's all about him. And in the end, he's defeated by the two cleaners, the creature, and Giles. They're defeated by Giles as well, played by Richard Jenkins, who's really good in it. I think he's fantastic in this.
And he also has a sort of homosexual.
Yeah, he's like a closeted gay guy that stays next door to her. And again, like, that would be like Strickland's worst nightmare of what America.
I mean, it's not. Yeah, it's not really shy with this political message. Like, it knows which side it's supporting.
Because in Strickland's mind, he can only be defeated by a 20-strong team of
the film's
Russian
spies. Yeah, very clear about what it feels is right and wrong in society. Yeah. But in the same way that Del Toro did with Pan's Labyrinth as well, he used the sort of fairy tale there to critique fascism and Spanish fascism in particular. Mm. Whereas in this film, it's sort of critiquing that American conservatism, which doesn't accept any sort of difference.
Any other.
And the creature itself is like a form of the other.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, plays into this idea. You're sort of like, in a way, by showing him as so other, being literally like not a human, a fish creature, it sort of highlights the fact that people who are human are also being treated as like subservient or less than other people. But yeah, like, in terms of the filmmaking, like I say, the first scene was amazing, and like every scene throughout. One of the things I liked about it was that it was a period drama as well. So like the sets, like the apartment she stays in and her neighbour looked fantastic. You've got the old style diner, the theatre, and the institution where she works just brings to mind sort of the Frankensteins or the like the old style monster movies. Mm. Like the old black and white monster movies. Like with the tanks and the like bolted down and stuff. It was that was really cool to see.
It looks really in places underwater as well. Mm. Like in some places that they are underwater. Yeah. But like the colour scheme of it and like the cinematography, it's all so many different greens.
Yeah.
And it's even, I feel like, poking fun at himself when Strickland does get the car and it's like, oh, I don't like the green, and he's like, no, it's teal.
Yeah.
Not green, it's a different shade.
Yeah.
And it's always, I feel like that was like poking fun at his own.
There's a couple of things in here. I'd like to watch it again because there are a few things.
There's so much in it.
And there were things where like characters are watching TV, which I'm sure had some relevance. But like I
there's loads of like biblical things and
they
kept going on.
Yeah, there was little like references to stuff.
But you don't need it. It works without it.
Yeah.
But if you are getting those little nods to musicals and like biblical epics and things like that,
yeah,
you probably will get more out of it. But you don't need any of that.
Like you say, it's sort of layered up, like different stories going on top of each other and different things going on through
but
them.
But it still works if you don't get that. That's what's like, it's so accessible about it, is even if you don't know all these 1950s musicals and stuff like that, you're still going to enjoy the movie because it is just essentially a love story.
Well, again, like, they create some really strong characters. Like, yeah. Zelda's really funny. Her co-worker Eliza's really expressive and sympathetic. Her neighbors, again, like, has some great scenes.
Yeah.
Like, and all of them, like, Zelda, Giles, like, even the side characters are all given scenes, either with their partners or with their love interests, in which you kind of get to see a little bit of their lives as well.
Really good villain as well, which is key to...
Yeah.
I liked as well, like, there's Michael Shannon and Michael Stuhlbarg, and that's like a little Boardwalk Empire reunion.
Yeah.
Unless you've only seen season one of Boardwalk Empire, and then it's not.
No. So they were, all the actors in it were good. Like, I really did enjoy it. Yeah, I don't really have a lot more to say about it, because it was just like, I don't really have any criticisms necessarily of the movie.
It's just really good, and like, I feel like there's something for everybody. And it's just a really beautiful story.
Yeah.
It really gets you.
It's sort of it's an unusual take on the typical love story. But yeah, definitely a lot in there to enjoy. Well written, great soundtrack, great cinematography. So yeah, if you haven't seen it already, I'd definitely check it out. That was our review of Shape of Water. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon with another review.